I know in the early 90s, in the research, I found out that when a family had a disabled person in the family, 4 out of 5 people would end up to divorce. It's a major issue. We're talking about 4 boys going blind. And I never did talk to my brother and see what their reaction. But let me share what my thinking at the process. At age 16, I'm thinking, I only have 15 more years left, and I'm going to be blind, according to the doctors. But my thought, my reaction was this. I don't concentrate on going blind. I focus on the thing that, well, let's do what I can today and worry about when I cross that bridge. That's my attitude towards that. But when you get that news, it may not be blindness. Maybe you got the report that you have cancer. Maybe you got the pink slip, you just lost your job. Maybe you just found out that you've put all your finance in the stock market for the retirement and it's gone. Maybe you lost someone that you love. What do you do? It's interesting, in the early 90s, I saw a magazine that said Newsweek, and it said the greatest fear in America, and there are 3 of them, heart disease, cancer, blindness. I understand the first 2 can be fatal to your life, but blindness, it doesn't kill you. But the perception of America, it might as well be. You see, I know some blind people who were able to see, and later they want to commit a suicide. Why bother? What's the purpose of living? A few years later, I was converted when I was 22 and learning and studying, trying to understand what's going on. I pick up the book called A Step Further. It's written by Johnny Erkantada. In that book, she shared a story that when she was 16, in the late 60s, she loved to swim and ride horse and cook and just full of life. And one summer she was out on a dock and floating and going off to a different place and swim. But one time she, I guess, dove on an area where it was low and she broke her neck. I will not try to butcher the name, what it's called, but I just know that when she broke her neck, she was paralyzed from the chest down. She can move her neck and her arm, but no use of hand. And here you were, she brought into the hospital and they put into a special bed where they had to scratch her because they had to work on this the spine that she had. It's been damaged. So from time to time, they had to flip her upside down. And when that happened, the people who visited her, they put a mirror on the bottom of the floor so people can communicate because she's facing down. At 16, I'm wondering, she's thinking about what's going on. She'll never ride the horse again, never swim, never do a lot of things. Life is pretty much over for her. There's that fear. There's that unknown. There's that anger and frustration. And why? That's the question most people ask. Why? When you get a pink slip, when you get that circumstance where it says, I'm having a bad feather day, one of the questions we ask is, why? And I'm sure Johnny, and she's sitting there wondering what's going on because she loved the Lord. But where do I go from here? She asked that question. I'm sure she screamed and yelled and cried and wondered, Lord! In this book, she wrote a poem that I want to share that really put things in perspective. She said, everyone in life fit on a scale of suffering ranging from little to much. But no matter where we are on that scale, there's always be those who suffer less than you, and there's always be those who suffer more than you. Here's the problem. The problem is we like to compare ourselves to those who suffer less. Therefore, we're pretending we're on top of the scale. Woe is me. Look how bad my life is. But when we face reality and stand beside those who suffer more, our purple heart metal don't shine so brightly. And here we are, some of the people are showing up and wearing their purple heart. Look at me. And as I finished reading the book, the purpose is God understood that, Johnny, your life's not over. I got a plan for you. She went on to have a beautiful ministry called Handicap Ministry, where it's called Johnny and Friends. And she went all over the world to encourage people like myself to say, keep on. The basic is God wants you to shine, not to whine. God don't want you to wear a purple heart. And so my reaction, I'm trying to understand that as I become a Christian, one of the verses that jumped out on me when I was learning about the Bible, and I found the Bible in Romans 8:28 said, we know that God causes all things work for the good. Those who love him, those who are called according to perfect. Whoa. What do you mean all things? Lord, I'm going blind. Death is getting worse. And see, in my early 20s, my peripheral vision started happening that the doctor predicted. Each year, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And when I met Dave and Lori, I had about this much vision. I see fine straight ahead. But I had to ask my question, good? Really? Yeah. But my question is, what's our response when you have a bad feather day? If you will, turn to your Bible if you have it. 1 Thessalonians, we'll look at chapter 5, 16, 17, and 18. We have the blue Bible in the back. You're welcome to take home if you don't have one. If you have one of those, you'll find it on page 826. Let's take a look at this verse. What is the mindset? What is the attitude? When you're in this situation, how should I respond? Well, Paul said, here's how you should respond. In the beginning of 1 16, chapter 5, we find that be always joyful. Continue, pray and continue. In other words, the attitude, you always be rejoicing. And in that process, rejoicing, always in the mindset of be praying all the time. Now look at verse 17. Give thanks in some of the circumstances. Now that didn't sound right. Let me try that again. Give thanks on the good days. Give thanks on the even day and the odd. I know. You give thanks when you got a promotion and your team won the championship and you're just having a... I think that's not right. Maybe you guys can help me. Give thanks in... What's that again? All circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice it didn't say give thanks for everything. It said give thanks in circumstances. So my attitude regard to me going blind, which is, I didn't go blind at 8:30. I was able to go back another, go forward another 12 years, about 42, 43, when I finally lost all my vision. Today, my hearing lost about 85% hearing on both sides. So what's my attitude? Instead of being frustrated, no, my goal, my attitude is I'm just going to focus on the thing I can do. Don't worry about the thing I can't do. I mean, when you woke up tomorrow morning, you had two attitudes you're going to deal with. One is when you wake up and you say, good Lord, morning, good morning, Lord, or good Lord, it's morning. How did you wake up this morning? And so I have lots of reason to be thankful. Even being blind. Oh, what can a blind man be thankful? One is I'm going to share that might shock you a little bit. But here it goes. I'm thankful that I can still go out in my shop and work with a table saw. Let me try that again. Table saw. Mm-hmm. The one that had the blade that cut wood. And every time we go visit new people and in the conversation is more than 10, 15 minutes for the first time, the conversation always talk about one, that Matt blind, and two, the table saw. And I know it's on your mind. It's on everybody's mind. If you don't say it, it's thinking, well, does he still have all these fingers? Yeah, I still have all nine. Oh, there you go. Yes, I still have them all. Really? You work with power tool? You think you freaked out, you should see my neighbor. Especially when they moved in. See, here's what I like to do. I'm in charge going to get the mail, so I get my white cane and get a little dog, a thick pound, and we go out, and here's my white cane. I go out in the front door, take a left, and go down the half a block. And while I'm doing it, the brand new neighbor moving in said, honey, look, is that cute? Here's a blind guy, the dog, and they're getting the mail. How nice. So they're watching me. And I'll get my mail, and I come back and go in the front door, hang up the key, put the mail away, get the dog, go where the dog needs to go. And then if the day is really nice, I will open my garage, and I'm pushing out my table saw. And I'm running my table saw. What do you think the neighbor going, honey, what's wrong with this? You got to call 911. We just got a couple more people moved out, and we're going to go through this process all over again. And I know some of you are doubting, really, Matt? So I have to bring some evidence for you. This is a project I'm working on currently, right now. This is called Main Truck. It's made out of myrtle wood. Everything you see, I cut and designed the whole bit. It's almost done. Look at that. Not bad for a blind man, huh? And it's a special Christmas gift to give to someone. I'm looking forward to this. Now, I have to tell you this, that there is a drawback working the shop. You know what the danger is? Oh, not the power tool. No, that's not the danger I want to refer to. The danger that I have to worry about is when I get one of those sliver in my finger. You try to pull it out blindfolded. I get one of these, and if I don't deal with it, and the more I mess with it, it's going to go deeper, right? And so I'm pulling it out, I'm biting on it, and then I get my duct tape, and you go, not working. And I'm panicking. Why? Because if I don't get it out, guess where I have to go? Not the doctor. You hear that laughter? It's called the in-house doctor. It's called the mom and the daughter love to help daddy out. I got to go in. Oh, man, I hate this. So I walk in, and soon they find out I got a sliver. You know what they do? They rejoice. There's something wrong with that. How you know we're joking? They're smiling ear to ear, and they're fighting over who gets to do it. You don't understand. When they see a sliver, here's what happened. All right, what should we do? They got a Bowie knife. That should work. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we better shot Dad up. He's going to be really a lot of pain. You get one of these stuff out. And some knife here. Maybe we better get a saw. I mean, these are the tools they bring out. And as they're digging out the tool, I'm looking in the back door. I said, I can still run. Would you? Wait a minute, didn't we just cover the verse that in give thanks in all things? Okay. But I need to be thankful in everything. Be thankful that God is still using me. When we talk about Johnny, the purpose in her, she's not done with her, not done with me. I can still be able to speak and do drama. And there's something I can do. There's something I cannot do. I don't focus on the thing I cannot do. I focus on, God, what can I do? So when I wake up this morning, Lord, what can I do? Don't worry about the blindness. Let's worry about how we can serve God. God's allowing me to breathe. There's so many things that we can be thankful. When you go to your Thanksgiving birth this Thursday, don't just talk and think about all the things that's good, that's okay, but also be thankful for the hardship. Because through those difficult times, it what makes you. It helps you become a better person. Let me introduce you a person I met 30 years ago that changed the church attitude and perception, that motivated me in a great way, a person that does not wear a purple heart. Her name is Shirley Jones. Can you see her? And when I first met her, one of the things I want you to take a note, take a look at, what do you see? No, look past the wheelchair. Look past that. Look at her. Look at her. What do you see? You see? Smile. And she's that way every Lord's Day. Shirley had cerebral palsy in the worst kind. Matter of fact, they told her when she's young, she will not live past 30. Sound familiar? She lived to be 70. And every time I see her at the church, that's what she's doing, smiling. Shirley can no longer dress herself, can no longer feed herself. She can't take care of herself, so she has to have a 24/7 care. And yet, she's smiling. She understands be joyful always. She understands to continue to pray because she's a tremendous prayer warrior. She understands to give thanks in all circumstances. And she does it. That's probably one of the most powerful sermon visualized I ever seen to help me motivate. So what excuse that we have, you look at her. And she might ask you, why are you not smiling? You know, some of the attitude of the character would come in, we were like, Eeyore. Oh, well, woe is me. And I talked to one of the elder wives to go and do a report because I was doing some special paperwork and she will not talk about the question, how do you deal with the difficulty? How do you handle the tough times? She won't go there. She said, oh, it's okay. Matter of fact, when she turned 60, because we had different family, would take her to the church and back, and she made a comment that I'd never been at a grocery store. She's 60 years old and never been at a supermarket before, ever. So, hey, we're going to take her there. So they took her to the Safeway, and they got out, and they went down each aisle slowly. You know what the first word that she said? Whoa. When the last time you expressed that, when you were at the supermarket? Huh? I don't like going to the supermarket. You ever see a blind man pushing a cart? I can't tell you how many old lady, oh, I'm sorry, I can't say that. People I run over. And every time I come back, the manager said, oh, no, not him again. And you get in line. I mean, of course, they don't like me because all year long, I said, after we paid for the food and stuff, I said, Merry Christmas. It's July. I know, Merry Christmas. But she appreciated, and she was just overwhelmed how we should be thankful what we have. And I'm sure, and she's in heaven right now, if God had asked, Shirley, would you come back on this earth and do it all over again? She probably said, yes, I would. And so when I'm going to Bible college, I had television, that's all I see. And so when I hit 30, I'm still able to see, but I put my time and energy in serving God. And when you take a look at Shirley, she smiled every time. She had more reason to be unhappy. And yet, all of us who are sitting here had more than what she had to offer. But explain this to me. Why is it that she had more joy than most of us put together in here? Because she had a connection with God. She understand who God is. You see, the beauty of this, and one of the things she understand that I understand and Johnny understand is this. When we go, guess what? The wheelchairs stay here. The hearing aid will not go to heaven. My white cane will be thrown in the trash. In other words, when I get to heaven, guess what? I get a brand new body. Now, my question to you is, will I be shocked when I first see you, see how much you change? But we get brand new, and one thing that Brother Dave talked about a while back, that our time on this earth is just a short time, just a very little bit of time. And yet, internally, it's for a long time. So there's a lot that we can be thankful. I'm thankful that God died for me so I have eternal life. I'm thankful that God gave me a family that's here that I can fellowship and work. I'm thankful for many things. There's a lot that we can be thankful. But here's the two parts of the word Thanksgiving. One is learn to be thankful. It's about the attitude. It's about the mindset of being thankful. But the second part is giving. Just because I'm blind and hearing impaired doesn't mean I cannot continue to give some way, somehow. Just like I'm working on that truck, I'm going to bless somebody. I'm giving somebody a joy. Not bad for a blind and deaf, and there's a lot more to offer. I heard one of the preachers who'd worked with a couple, they had issues. They have things they couldn't get resolved. They'd been in for an hour, they'd argue, and finally they'd say, time out. We're not going to resolve it today, but here's what the preacher did. And he did it quite a bit, and it seemed to work. He said, we're not going to resolve this issue, but here's what I want to do. For the next 2 or 3 weeks, I want you to start serving. There are a lot of activity going on in the church. There's people, the young kid need their help, and different people and homeless. Just serve. You know what happened after 2 or 3 weeks? They forgot about the issue being the issue. Now it's no longer an issue. When you take your mind off yourself and focus on other people, guess what? You're no longer, oh, well, woe is me. Come to my pity party. See, the reason that I have full of joy, I don't want any pity party. If I do have a pity party, you won't come. If you have a pity party, I'm not going there because I don't want to be dragged down in the mud. I want to be uplifted, encouraged. I want to hang out with people who are just doing things in life. And the way you do it is you look through the scriptures. It's always about serving others. It said, one verse, it says, it's better to give than to receive. That is so true. You show me the person that loved to give, I show you the person that is thankful. You show me the person that's always about that, themselves, and I'll show you they'd be miserable, ungrateful. But scripture is full of one another Pray for one another. Carry another person's burden. Just reach out and serve. When Jesus came, he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve others. And so if you really want to understand the full of joy, serve. Matter of fact, this church here can use your help. We got things, we come here early, we got several people serving to help set things up and help set them things down. And if you don't have anything, contact Lori. I mean, look, Lori put me to work. I'm blind. Terrible of her, huh? Matter of fact, when I first met with Dave and Lori, when they were talking about a brand new church and we were sitting there on the table, we were talking about, okay, I'm coming in here. What can I do? What's coming to ministry? Because I don't like to sit and do nothing. I want to be involved. And Lori said, Matt, when you sign up, here's what we'll do. I'll give you the key to the first bus. Yeah, baby. Now, you probably noticed there's no bus out there yet. So when that day comes, I get to drive it the first time. Now, my question is, who want to join me? Oh, come on. For the last 25 years, I had, you know, there's a lot of things about me that's not perfect. But there is one thing very perfect. I had the best track record in the last 25 years. No driving accident, no ticket, no nothing. What better could you ask for? Never mind, I have been driving for 25 years. That's not important. I remember when I was speaking to church in Sweet Home, this is so cool. I said, there's a way to train the church how to pray in less than 5 seconds. I mean, you go to class and, you know, man, we don't know how to pray. I said, I'll show you how to pray. We rent and charter a bus, bring it out in front of the church. Everybody get on the bus. Then I get in, lock the door, get in the driver's seat, turn on the key, and step on the gas. You think they'll learn how to pray? I think they will. But, you know, it's not about us learning to give thanks. It's not only about us learning to give others. Because the Colossians 3:1, it said, set your eyes on the thing above, not the thing on below. When you start looking down on earthly things, guess what? It's going to take you down. So I don't worry about what's surrounding. I look, okay, God, what do you have planned for me? My life's full. I'm not bitter about my blindness. I'm not angry about going deaf. The beauty of death, I can't hear my wife. What? You say, what? She called it select hearing, right? But look what God did for us. John 3:16, God said he loved the world. He so loved the world. The world is you and me. The world is, we reject God. We hate God. And yet, even our attitude toward God, God still went ahead and said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that we will not perish but have eternal life. God loved us. In a moment, we're going to move into communion. And what's interesting, the word thanksgiving, the Greek word is Eucharist, that's thanksgiving. Because what is about communion? Communion is about recognizing and be thankful that Jesus died on the cross for us. Before I went to Bible college with Dave, I went to art school in Spokane. I am a graphic artist. And when I graduated from art school from Spokane, I came here and I started working for ViewMaster and making 3D cartoons. And then that first year here, I went to Bible college. This is the first time I'm reading the scriptures for the first time. You see, you got to understand, when I was at art school, and one of the classes I had to take was the church, not the church history, but art history. And through the textbook and the slideshow that we watched, a lot of the picture of a Christ on the cross, sculpture and drawing. You know what I discovered as I sat in that class? Most of the painting, the sculpture, the drawing that I see about Christ that made him beautiful. There were just no cut, no mark. Well, my first year in Bible college, I'm reading it and I thought, they paint a different picture. And so I told God to help me learn. Back then we didn't have internet, so I got material like the MD, what's going on physically happened to Jesus when he's being crucified. And reading all the scripture, and I told the Lord, let me learn everything about it, and I want to paint what Christ might look like on the cross. My interpretation. But I need to do my homework. And one of the things I did in my homework is whatever I discover is what I can put on the painting. The psalm that said it count. They were able to count all his bones. I go, uh-oh. I interpret that he hung naked. How do you paint a painting so it's still tasteful, but true to my research? I also noticed that one of the psalmists said the beard was ripped out of his face, and his face was swollen so bad it's unrecognizable. You look at most of the painting, the sculpture you see out there, none of them come close. He was just battered and bruised. And then you look at the whip they used, or the cord that had chipped the bones and metal. And what I learned that when it hit the back of his back, it didn't hit the back, it wrapped around his body. And as it wrapped around and he pulled, it just ripped the flesh here, 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 and here. In other words, his whole body was shedded with blood. And so I had to put that on a painting. And just before you take communion this morning, after the prayer, you will see the painting on the PowerPoint. Here's what I want you to do. It will stun you. Because what you're going to see for the first time, if you have not seen it before, this is what your and my sin did to our Jesus Christ. This is what happened. And so when you look at that cross, you see that this is our sin that put him on that cross. But don't stop there. Recognize that that's what our sin did, but also I want to move to a different mindset. That even though he died for you, and this is what we did. But know that that's how much he loved us. He's willing to go on that cross for you and me so that you and I have life, so you and I have perfect, you and I have eternal life. He did that because he loved us. That gives me the reason why, regardless of my circumstances, I should still be thankful for what God did. And so as you see the picture and listen to the word that they sing, let it meditate your heart. Let it convict your heart. Let it encourage your heart. Let it help you to give thanks. Because after that, when you're ready, we'll have the communion sit in the back where you can get up and think about what he did for us. Because that bread represents his body. And the juice represents the blood that's shed for us that you and I have life. Give thanks in all circumstances. No matter where you are, recognize that God loves us. He got a plan for you. He had in my life. He had for Shirley and Johnny and you too. Let's pray. Father, that we take the moment to thank you for willing to send your son to die on that cross. Oh Lord, we know it's not pretty, but it is powerful. Powerful because you conquered death. And on the third day, you rose again and resurrected. And that's a demonstration for us that when we go, we will resurrect and join you in the near future for eternal. But this morning, God, as we partake this communion, may we have a thankful heart about your life you're willing to shed for us. And forgive us for our shortcoming. But thank you, God, for giving us so much. Open our eyes and our heart and see this thing that there's so much that we can be thankful. And all begin thanking you, sending your son, Christ Jesus. God, we pray this and we give you glory in your precious name. Amen.